WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is Festivus. I got the purple floodlights out for all of this. Yeah, I was driving around town earlier in the week, and I noticed the lack of Ravens flags, you know, on my way to G&A Coney Island Hot Dog on Thursday for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I got some Ravens scratch-offs as well as some holiday cash drops. We're going to be doing more Crab Cake Tours as well with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. And it is the strangest playoff week ever. I dispatched our Luke Jones out to Owings Mills on Wednesday because they don't let me in anymore. It's kind of – I feel like I'm in like a twilight zone. And we still don't know what quarterback is playing or who will be playing on Sunday night. So I thought I'd bring Luke in. He's the one been out there reporting on the reporting. And, I guess this is all part of the frustration of John Harbaugh that we see at the podium, because I think he was led to believe Lamar was going to play around Christmas. And now everybody in the organization, kind of reminds me of when they fired Brian. Kevin Byrne had told everybody he wasn't getting fired. Then he got fired. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, all bets are off. We all love Lamar. Want to believe in Lamar. Want Lamar to get paid. We argued for Lamar to get paid. Lamar didn't get paid. Lamar get hurt. And now Lamar's not going to play on Sunday night. Am I clear on that? I mean, because I don't know that there's any. Can he walk out on Sunday night and just Willis Reed this? There's no chance of that, Luke, right?
I mean, at this point, when he's not on the field on Wednesday, which was, what, 38 days after suffering the sprained PCL on his left knee against Denver, what's 39 going to be? What's 40 going to be? You know, what's another, if he's not ready to practice on Wednesday, as he wasn't, what's another day or two going to be at this point? I mean, okay, if the Ravens can pull out a miracle win on Sunday night and you know, Cincinnati turns the ball over three times, you return a kick for a touchdown, you win in some kind of unexpected way, which it's the NFL. Things like that can happen. Certainly not the highest probability outcome of what we're expecting to see Sunday night. But if that happens, then okay, we're doing this all over again next week. But in terms of this week, you know, the idea that he's just going to step on the field for, that's why I was talking so much about the need to, in my mind, to see him late last week. Not that he was going to play against the Bengals in week 18, but the idea that he was going to start running around, start testing out the knee, seeing how he feels, seeing how he's moving, making sure that he's right enough. You know, we had our joking little comment that I said tongue in cheek, but there was some truth to the idea of, you know, if he has a very slight limp, if he's 90%, you know, compared to,
well, the running back has a slight limp and he plays, right?
Right, right. I mean, we and John Harbaugh was asked about this on Wednesday in general terms, and in asking, or a reporter asked, you know, could Lamar play at less than 100%? And John said, I mean, look, with any player, if they're feeling good enough, if they're moving well enough, if there is no perceived risk of a re-injury, I mean, you can never take the risk down to zero, right? I mean, every time these guys step on the field, you know, I mean, we saw this with Damar Hamlin in the most terrifying way possible. They are taking a risk, but, you know, there are plenty of players that play less than 100%. And I'm not saying that Lamar should be playing right now. I don't know. I mean, only
Lamar
really
knows. That's the issue. This is like fibromyalgia. You know what I mean? Like, can't see it, can't feel it. You got to tell me how you're feeling today, right?
Well,
and the fact that there's less than trust and less than honor built into this in general, based on the contract, based on how fans would perceive it. Because if he's not playing Sunday, they're getting eliminated Sunday. We're coming back Monday. He's still the quarterback. They're going to franchise him allegedly. They're never going to down talk about him and say he could have played. He's soft. He didn't want to play. It was about money. It was about contract. If he had an agent, this would be better. If the Browns didn't give Deshaun Watson $230 million, we probably would have had him locked up for whatever we offered him 8 months ago or 10 months ago. So all of this factors in, but the other side of this, what happens after they lose is going to be, and I talked about that before I knew he wasn't playing, like what happens the day after this franchise is eliminated this year is going to involve turmoil. And it's going to involve turmoil because I sense from the outside that there's a lack of communication, a lack of trust. I know there's a lack of integrity because I've met Chad Steele and I've dealt with John. So I know they'll lie about anything. I don't know whether they were lying about the 1 to 3 weeks or whether they were pressuring the kid or what. Like, I don't know, but it's going to come out. Too many people are privy to this. Too many people have loose lips when it's all over with. But they do not want to do anything to devalue Lamar or make it sound even remotely that he might have, could have, sort of played if he had a contract and if he wanted to or whatever. They're not going to intimate anything like that because they want to get 3 number 1 draft picks for him. And it's bad enough for another franchise, for Stephen Ross or for the Glazers or for Miss Adams strunk down in Nashville to look and say, well, that kid will help me sell tickets. I mean, he'll be healthy next January. Sure he will. Okay, well, we'll give him $250 million, right? It's going to take somebody to give him the money he wants because they're not giving him the money. We're 10 minutes into this. We buried the lead. They just gave Roquan Smith $100 million, right? Like, they've never had a problem signing a player. And I guess that's why if I were still a reporter in there and people were talking to me a little bit after the fact, later on, someone will get to the heart of what this is. But this is not normal, Luke. You're out there every – this is not – no franchise wants to deal with this scenario. And I even said to Paul Daner this week, I said, is there any chance Joe Burrow would be dangling in Week 18 playing a wild card game without a contract? Is there a chance that the Bengals would allow that to happen? It's kind of unprecedented in modern NFL history, really. Flacco, maybe.
But, I was just going to say, Joe Flacco.
But not injury, not – I might be –
But he wasn't under contract.
I'm not sure, right?
I hear everything you're saying, and I don't disagree. I'll take this from the flip side. Let's just say – and – you know, we don't know. I mean, everyone thinks they know. I see lots of fans say, oh, it's clearly this or it's obviously this. No one knows. No one knows. I mean, you know, people will say, I told you 4 weeks ago he's not going to play again this season. Yeah, you just said that 4 weeks ago. Unless you have some special intel that no one else, including Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, have had. But let's take it from the other side. Let's say that this injury was worse than the Ravens led on and truly was a case of, you know, Lamar's been trying to get back. And to be clear, I don't think this is a case where he's been healthy for 4 weeks and is just holding in. I don't think that. I haven't gotten that indication from anybody. I think that's a big reason why John Harbaugh said what he said at the end of last week, which I think was probably 2 or 3 weeks late in the grand scheme of if you're trying to protect your quarterback.
Well, he hasn't been touchy-feely about the kid. You know what I mean? He hasn't been protective of Lamar as seeing it from the outside. He's been the ball coach saying, son, are you going to play ball or are you not? Like, because that's his job too, right? He's the one that's going to lose the football game Sunday night. It's his franchise, and he needs this kid to play, and they all know they need this kid to play.
Of course, he's their best player. I mean, it's that simple. But let's just, you know, again, put aside the contract for a moment, even though that's impossible to do, but put that aside in terms of what is at work here, which, you know, Jim Trotter, who is very highly respected around the league, had a monologue that he offered on NFL Network that Lamar Jackson retweeted. That's the first time we've really seen Lamar make any reference to his injury as far as even someone speaking for him. And, you know, he talked about it as far as Lamar being a gamer and his teammates love him and he works hard and everything that we've talked about over the better part of the last 5 years. But let's just take it completely. I don't even want to say face value because no one knows what face value is because Lamar hasn't talked about this. And this is the most communication we've gotten from him is a retweet of what Jim Trotter said in terms of Lamar needing to feel like he's going to be Lamar and not going out there with a knee brace. And we've talked about this for weeks now. This is a 6 week conversation we've had that he wasn't going to just slap on a knee brace and then suddenly just play from the pocket. I mean, that doesn't serve anyone well. And it goes back to protecting his value, as you were just talking about a couple minutes ago. But even if this was just a case of the injury ended up being way worse than they thought, and the team did what the team does and did with Breshad Perriman, did with Elvis Dumervil with his torn Achilles years ago. I mean, go down the list of injuries that the team downplayed publicly when they're speaking to the media and what it ended up being.
Well, Jimmy Smith was also one of those cases, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen that. But even if it is that, and even if you are still in a position where you want to sign him long term, he's now been unable to finish each of the last two seasons. This is why I said to you, how many different times over the offseason leading into the season, I said, what constitutes a win for the Ravens in terms of a negotiation here? And this is one of the scenarios I talked about. Okay, he gets hurt again. And okay, maybe Lamar Jackson at the end of the season says, I don't need the full guarantee or the nearly full guarantee that I was seeking. I can now take what you were offering, and whether that offer is still stands from the Ravens' perspective or not, who knows? Again, not trying to get too far into it, but even if you get him at your number, you're now having very serious questions about availability. This isn't the hypothetical that we talked about 3 years ago over and over, and critics really talked about it. Oh, this isn't sustainable. And
I was the critic. I was the one in the press conference saying, is this sustainable? And they all pissed on me. And then they threw me out. Like, above and beyond all that, I asked the toughest of tough questions, and Lamar shirked at me. Harbaugh got all jawed out. And then Lamar never played again last year. So, like, this was obvious from the night they drafted him and the night that you and I sat in Canton and he started running in the linebackers in July.
He's gotten hurt from the
– he's
gotten hurt as a passer twice, Nestor. I'm making a point here. The point is, regardless of who it is, we saw this with Tavon Young. We've seen it with Nick Boyle the last couple of years. Guys are durable until they're not anymore. And it's – for me, I've said all along, for me it was never an issue of – thinking necessarily that he was going to suffer a catastrophic injury. That's possible for anyone. We saw it with Dak Prescott, even though he came back and has been the same player. Now, performance, at different times, but it had nothing to do with his broken
ankle. Joe Burrow's a great example of a guy that got really hurt, and he's right, back playing.
But my point isn't even so much about the running ability. It's or about the risk of running so much. He got hurt rolling out from the pocket in Cleveland last year. Yeah, that was a kind of play where any quarterback rolls out from the pocket at some point in time and a guy will dive at his ankles. He got hurt purely playing from the pocket against Denver. It's not even so much the risk of running. It's now he's had back-to-back years where an injury to his lower extremities, and now you're wondering availability. You're wondering as he continues to age, and he's only 26. I don't want to make it sound like he's 33, but you start to question that. And that's part of the entire equation. And we've said all along, and this is eliminating the risk of an injury, just talking about in terms of him running, in the same way that you talk about running backs, that is going to be a depreciating part of his game at some point in time. Doesn't mean at age 26, doesn't even necessarily mean at age 28. But at some point in time, just like any running back not named Adrian Peterson of the last 20 years, really, they're going to decline, and they typically decline quickly. And look, Lamar's not a running back, but he still carries the ball way more than any other quarterback other than Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields now, as we're starting to, we've seen this model of quarterback become more prevalent. And in the case of Jalen Hurts, it's been wildly successful in Philadelphia this year. But the point is, at some point, that sliding scale was going to have to move away from running the ball gradually, running the ball as much, and it was going to have to trend more towards him playing more from the pocket. And that's where the frustration falls in here as far as what 2022 has been, because they were inadequately equipped at wide receiver even before Rashad Bateman got hurt. Then he gets hurt, and you see what it's looked like, and you've really seen what it's looked like since Devin Duvernay, who isn't a true great number two wide receiver, but was the Ravens' number two wide receiver. And you see what that's looked like. And we've seen, the passing game from week four on did not work, and it's been completely
it is not
broken.
A $50 million passing game or quarterback play or position at where they are. They're in the playoffs, but when you can't win a playoff game, I this is fundamental to Bisciotti and Harbaugh and DaCosta, because they're not here to be a wild card team and lose playoff games, right? Like that.
Yeah.
They're just not. And I don't know what they're going to do with him, but I know someone will find him to be beautiful, even if he doesn't play this week. Right. Like somebody else will go all in. Maybe. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. And let me be clear. What I was just saying, that wasn't that issue with the passing game for me is not really that much of an indictment on Lamar as much as it's everyone involved, the personnel, Greg Roman, all of it. It didn't work. And you're in a position now where his entire rookie contract, including his fifth-year option, which is $23 million, still dirt cheap for a franchise quarterback in this day and age, has now been exhausted, and you still have the same questions about the passing game. You now have not hypothetical, real questions about his availability, having not been able to finish each of the last two seasons. He's about to become very expensive. I think everyone expects a change at offensive coordinator. So what is that going to look like? And even if you want to keep Lamar, short of signing him to a long-term contract extension by March or by the draft, you're looking at a holdout of some sort. It's not even a holdout. When it's a franchise tag, a guy doesn't sign the tag, he's not under contract. He's not obligated to be there, and he's going to have to exhaust his leverage. So any way you look at this, from the
well,
most
the leverage is you don't want to piss off quarterback, right?
Like,
at the end of the day, that becomes untenable to say, just franchise him, he'll play. I've heard plenty of people say that, and I'm like, I don't think this kid will play. I just don't. I don't think he'll come back and play happily next year here without a contract. I don't.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
No matter, somebody would say, well, Lamar, you haven't been available to play in January. And he'd say, well, that's the franchise's fault for getting me hurt.
Well, I don't believe it's a franchise getting him hurt. I mean, it wasn't as though the offensive line's been one of the best in the NFL this year. But the overall point there is, any way you want to look at this, from the most optimistic lens to the most pessimistic possibility, it's a lot of concern. I mean, there any way you want to, even if Lamar says tomorrow, okay, I'll take the deal you were offering me, or even less than that, there's that question of availability. There's that question of, what is this offense going to look like if you have a new OC, and are you going to be able to have the resources to go get a better wide receiver? And you know, you just go down the list. I'm not saying that's the worst possible outcome. That's on the best. You know, that's the best.
Well, to your point,
one.
If he were making $48 million right now and we're really happy and we're signed and his mother's, everybody's happy, wouldn't make any difference. He still can't play Sunday night. Right.
Yeah, like right. I mean, yeah, if this is a case of, and again, I'm not going to speculate and suggest that he's healthy enough to play right now. I don't know. I know from hearing people in the organization, there's been a varying opinions. You know, a few weeks ago, yeah, there was no question. There was optimism and expectation that he was going to be ready. But as I've said from the start, I said the name that I brought up immediately with a PCL, Breshad Perriman, first day of training camp, goes down in a way not terribly different than what we saw from Lamar, meaning he hit the ground with his knee bent. That is the mechanism for a sprained PCL. I'm not a doctor, but I've read enough sports medicine types talk about that. And that was very similar. The Ravens did not think that was a big deal. They did not think it was going to be a long-term absence. And we saw how that played out. And look, Breshad Perriman didn't jake it that year. He was a rookie. He was a kid. So that's where I think we got to be, you know, not saying you and me, but everyone needs to be careful and more thoughtful here, not to just automatically assume it's about the contract. That's part of the entire consideration. But keep in mind, this is also an individual who did not hold out during training camp whatsoever, did not hold out during the start of the season. If you're going to hold out over your contract, you do it then. You don't do it during playoff time where, oh, by the way, you're also impacting your teammates there, because it's not just an opportunity to win games in the playoffs. There are playoff shares involved. You're talking about guys that are making the minimum, practice squad guys. They're getting extra money by playing in the playoffs. So Lamar Jackson is beloved by his teammates. This is a guy who's highly thought of by everyone in the organization, whether he has flaws or not, whether the imperfections about him or not, just like anyone else, to be clear. So that's where I continue to look at this and just struggle with saying that, oh, you know, that, you know, people that are suggesting that, you know, he could have played weeks ago or anything like that. I don't think that's the case, but that doesn't mean there isn't frustration and major disappointment right now that he's not going to be out there on Sunday night, barring something that's completely unforeseen, when he's not practicing even on the Wednesday leading into wild card weekend, when, you know, it's been, you know, going on 40 days since he's been out on the practice field. So it's a lot. And I just, it's so disappointing. You said this at the beginning of our conversation. I've never, saying this as a media member and as a longtime fan from the beginning, when I was 13 years old in 1996, I can never remember a playoff week that felt less like a playoff week than this one does right now. And that's just disappointing. That just stinks. That's
you
not
make
even
the
a
playoffs and you can't be excited. You can't sell tickets. You can't have fun. You can't throw points. Yeah. Nobody is feeling the vibe of Sunday night. It's almost like, God forbid I say this, I'm waiting for it to get over with. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there's a point of they can't win. And, you know, on a personal level, the last 6 months, it's not been my favorite season by any stretch of the imagination or ours here at WNST in our 25th anniversary. But I don't feel optimism from anywhere. And I don't even sense confidence coming from John. And that's and part of this would be, I would ask you, Mr. Reporter guy, who's the quarterback Sunday night? I don't think he even knows. I don't think Tyler Huntley, they have enough confidence in him health-wise to think or know that if you said to John right now, give me a dollar, or bet me a dollar, and let me go to Vegas and bet who's going to start. I guess we're going to see Anthony Brown at some point on Sunday night, because it doesn't feel like to me, if Tyler Huntley were well enough to lead the team right now, this is his big opportunity to go win a playoff game. That kid wants to play, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was out on the field on Wednesday. We did not see him throw during the open portion of practice, which is kind of what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks. If you ask me right now, I think Tyler Huntley gives it a go. I don't know what that means. I mean, the idea that he didn't throw in practice for a day or two, you know, it's not the same thing as a sprained PCL. You know, I mean, this is a quarterback. This is a guy who's thrown thousands of passes over the course of the season. You know, this is
and he's got a sore shoulder, right? He's got tendonitis. He's got Jim Palmer tendonitis.
Sure,
right?
This is a case where, as you also know, if a player is willing to do it, there are injections and pain tolerance methods where someone can play a football game in that context. And let's be clear. I mean, it's not as though the Ravens blueprint is going to be to go out there and throw it 45 times. I think that's obvious. If the Ravens have a shot in this game with Tyler Huntley, and I'm not saying it's a good shot, but it's the NFL. You know, I don't expect this to be Georgia TCU. Let's just be clear about that. I don't. I think the defense is too good. The running game is too good for it to get to that point. However, if you're looking for a blueprint of how the Ravens possibly win a football game without Lamar Jackson on Sunday night, it's probably not terribly different than what we saw the Tennessee Titans do to the Ravens in the 2019 playoffs. A couple early turnovers. You know, they maybe hit one shot play. They get an early
crowd out of it.
And then they just lean into their running game like all heck, right? I mean, J.K. Dobbins and, you know, you hope Gus Edwards is out of concussion protocol. That's something that we'll continue to monitor this week. But whether it's Dobbins, whether it's Kenyon Drake, whether it's Justice Hill, you know, that you're talking about, you're aiming at Tyler Huntley, although he's not Lamar, he certainly can run. You're looking to see if you can get an early lead on a couple turnovers, you know, big play on special teams, and then you see if you can run the ball for 250 yards, and you can have a 40 to 20 time of possession gain, and you can play the kind of defense that, hey, let's face it, you know, even though you look at the final score this past Sunday, that 27 points was not because the Bengals offense was moving the ball up and down the field at will. That was because Anthony Brown turned it over three times, right? I mean, we know what that game was. So if this defense can do what it's done, quite frankly, twice against Cincinnati, which is contain Joe Burrow in that offense, doesn't mean you're going to stop them. If you can contain them and you get a couple turnovers and you can run the heck out of the football, that's your blueprint for having a chance. That's your blueprint for being in the game in the
first
fourth quarter.
First 7-point game in the fourth quarter, right? Literally.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not saying that
feels like a
and let's be clear, I'm not saying that that's the high probability outcome here. Go back to that 2019 playoff game between the Ravens and Tennessee. The Ravens and Tennessee, if they had played 10 playoff game, you know, 10 games, that outcome that happened that night, I think happens once or twice at most. You know, the Ravens were absolutely the better team, but the Titans were better that night. And we know that that's how the NFL works. So I do think, you know, at this point, and again, I don't know this, but I just look at how they proceeded. The fact that the Ravens rested Tyler Huntley in week 18, to me, that was a tell that, hey, we don't know if Lamar is going to be ready next week. So let's make sure that Tyler Huntley can rest up that shoulder, and we're going to really limit his throwing in practice. Now, it doesn't make you feel great about the execution of the passing game, but let's face it, I haven't felt good about the execution of the passing game in weeks and weeks and weeks, even before Lamar Jackson.
If completing the forward pass is the key to winning the game on Sunday night, they're not going to win.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to come down to, you know, can you complete half a dozen passes to Mark Andrews? And maybe there's a shot play somewhere in there. I mean, we saw them complete a pass to Sammy Watkins downfield before he fumbled the ball late in the fourth quarter. You know, can you have that play except you don't turn it over? So again, this is not Luke trying to be eternal optimist. This is Luke laying out the scenario for how you compete. And so much of it, you know, I just mentioned the Bengals turning it over in the running game, and maybe you find one or two big plays in the passing game. By the way, that sounds like the 2000 Ravens there.
There you go.
It's going to come down to the defense.
We played a playoff game with Anthony Wright back in the day. I remember, it was Jamal, and that was it.
Well, and the problem was the Titans shut down Jamal Lewis that night, but it's going to be the defense. It really is. It stinks. It stinks. Yeah, and I don't say this with any faulting anyone, Lamar, John Harbaugh, the organization, it stinks. You as fans, as media, you talk about the upcoming season and the off season for months and months and months. You talk about getting to this point, right? We've talked about that from the moment that the Ravens lost that playoff game to the Titans when they were 14-2 and they were the best team in the NFL and record setting offense and everything that you loved about that team, Lamar being unanimous MVP. They had 13 Pro Bowl selections. From the moment that they lost that game, all we've talked about is the Ravens getting back to that stage and getting over the hump. And, they won a playoff game the following year in Nashville. They lost at Buffalo. Last year, we know what happened with the injuries. This year, injuries haven't been as catastrophic in terms of volume, but you get the worst possible one at the end of the season when it's your franchise quarterback going down. It's just they're continuing to chase the memory of what happened to them on that night in mid-January in Baltimore when the Titans came in here and beat a 14-2 football team. And they just – now's their latest opportunity to move on, to move past that, to reach greater heights, and you don't have your franchise quarterback out there. It stinks. There is nothing you can compare this to in the history of the organization. Ray Lewis was never missed a playoff game. Ed Reed never missed a playoff game. You could say, they didn't have Jamal Lewis in 2001. Jamal was lost in training camp. He wasn't part of that team, right?
Well, Flacco later told me that night in Indianapolis when Reed picked the ball off and talked about retiring, that he had a purple hip. Flacco was immobile in that Houston game.
Right.
So we've had these kinds of injuries, and I think about even
But not when they weren't out there. Jonathan Ogden's toe was messed up for the playoff game against Indy. That toe injury that altered the end of his career, shortened his playing career. So there have been scenarios where guys have been hurt or there was some question. But I went down the list. I looked at I pulled up the game book for every playoff game the Ravens have ever played. And not talking about guys that were already on IR or anything like that, but guys that were inactive and couldn't play that week. Kim Herring missed a couple games in the 2000 playoffs. Peter Boulware in 03. Remember, he got hurt late in that season. Samari Roll didn't play in the 2008 AFC Championship game. Eugene Monroe couldn't play in the 2014 postseason. And, Tavon Young back in 2018 when they lost to the Chargers. That list of guys compared to Lamar, doesn't compare. So this is really unfortunate, uncharted territory for the Baltimore Ravens to be in this position. And your franchise guy isn't out there. It's just so deflating. John will have these guys ready to play. They'll play hard. I fully expect that. But, it's just you don't have Lamar Jackson, and you're going up against one of the best teams in the AFC. It's hard to like their chances.
Tough Sunday night ahead of chili, beer, and tweeting. Luke and I will be covering all things Ravens all weekend long. I want to remind everybody, Dennis will be here on Friday this week, as well as Sunday morning, getting you ready for 6 football games. The Ravens now 8.5-point dogs. I'm sure that'll be moving toward 10 points now that it becomes more clear that Lamar Jackson's not going to play on Sunday night. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at GNA, Coney Island Hot Dog and White Marsh this week. You will hear all of that on the air at AM 1570. It is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, getting you ready for Festivus for the rest of us. We are BaltimorePositive.com.